Hello, everyone. So I was going to get a new computer recently, and as part of that, I have to move over all my stuff, all my setup. And I noticed there's a lot of tweaks and setups in my sort of Unix-ish environment that I have accumulated over the years that might be useful for others, might be useful to share, and that's what this is about. So, if you are an experienced Postgres developer, you of course have a lot of setup like that as well. So in that case, maybe you'll find one or two things in here that would be of interest to you, or you have some comments that would be welcome, or you can share some other things that you've done to make your development environment nicer. If you're more new to Postgres development, maybe you can use this sort of as a step-by-step setup guide in a way to help you get started. And while this is specific for Postgres, I think a lot of this stuff is also applicable generally to open source development or development of sort of C programs and things like that. And so this is a development environment. This is mine. I'm not claiming this has to be the only way to do it. So just keep that as a sort of suggestions here and ideas. So this is the plan of how I split this up. Start with the tooling and then building, developing, and then sort of more advanced maintenance topics. First thing, Git. Of course, we have to all know Git nowadays. There's really no way around that. I would recommend against downloading snapshot tarballs and developing against those. It's not reasonable. So Git is a little bit tricky. There's lots of things going on and lots of concepts and many commands, more than 100 subcommands and more. Some of those have subcommands. And so I went through my shell history and actually sort of got all the commands that I actually seemingly ever used, or at least as long as that shell history goes. And I've collected those here. So those are, what is that? So between 20 and 30 here. So it's a reasonable subset. Still a lot, but not the huge amount of the complete set of Git commands. So obviously this is not going to be a Git tutorial, but I want to point out a few things maybe that are not so widely known. So one thing I use a lot is the Git blame with a W option, which ignores whitespace. So that basically ignores all the pg indent commits. Sometimes if you look at the file that has some very old lines, and then you look up what commit changed, that is always some pg indent commit. So those are easy to ignore with that option. And then another thing, perhaps git grep and git log have a lot of interesting options. Here's a few that I want to point out, but there's more, and they have a lot of deep functionality, of course. So git log minus s, for example, is very useful. It shows you when a function name or any word was first used, was added or removed. So if you want to know when table open was first added, you just run git log table open and it'll just go through the entire history and gives you the first commit. Now, you use that all the time, really. It's very useful. Another thing, perhaps git grep. So git grep, lowercase w is for looking up a word with word boundaries. So if you're going to look for, well, sometimes there's functions like some function name, and then there's also another function, some function name extended. So if you only want to know the first one, then the lowercase w is useful. Uppercase w is, it shows you the matches in function context, so it has some source code awareness. So it shows you the whole function where that word is used instead of just some, plus or minus 5 lines or whatever it shows you by default. So, okay. Git configuration has actually changed quite a bit over time. So some of the defaults have changed, and I actually was removing a lot of stuff as part of this project here. Remove a lot of stuff from my Git configuration that has now become the default or is no longer relevant. But here's a few things I would recommend. The first two I'll show an example of in a minute. If you know, by default, if you use git diff, it gives you colored highlights of the diff. And this gives you a sort of a more advanced version of that that also highlights moved lines. For git log, I like to have the timestamps in my local time zone. I don't know why that's not the default. For merge, and this doesn't actually only apply to merge, but it also applies to rebase and so cherry picking and things like that. Conflict style diff 3, I find absolutely essential. Credit there goes to, or at least credit for pointing it out, goes to Robert Haas, who pointed this out in a blog post, I believe, some time ago. I think it's super useful and really can't live without it. Oh. And the other ones are more sort of preference. The last thing is perhaps interesting. If you so the tag entry there sorts tag names by sort of a version number aware system instead of just ASCII. And then the version sort here, this specific configuration sorts the beta and RC tags before the final version tags. So for example, rel 13 beta 1 sorts before rel 13 underscore 1, which it would otherwise not do. So it just puts the tags in the order that you really want them. And this is just a solid excerpt, but I think this is a sort of a good starting set here. So this shows you the git colored moved here. So the top hunk there is just a normal diff, right? So you have the removed lines in red and the added lines in green. It's the default colors, at least the way I got them. And then the lower hunk there, you also have removing lines, but they're here in a different color. And what that means is that these files have been removed here, but they have been added somewhere else in the same patch. And so this is useful when you're doing refactoring patches, because then you're just taking those lines and putting them somewhere else, basically. And this helps you know that you've moved these lines without changing them. This example here, for example, is from a patch I did a while ago for the re-index concurrently feature, which was a lot of refactoring because it's basically just taking the create index concurrently and drop index concurrently code and sort of wiring it together in a slightly different way. So all this code was just moved somewhere and it helped me a lot at the time. And I think this was actually the time where I set this up. It helped me a lot to know I moved the code and didn't accidentally change it, because then it would show in a different color if you changed those lines. So I think that's useful and almost a no-brainer. I don't see any drawback unless you don't like purple, perhaps. And then these are not recommendations. These are just ideas here. Git allows you to specify aliases, so you make up your own git commands, basically. So, for example, I use git find a lot because I know, the find command, I know. And I use git find, so it finds me a file in the git source tree, but it only finds files that are actually under git control. So I want to find the original source file, not just some random file that's lying around. And then some things from, I think this is from CVS or SVN days, the abbreviation of ST for status and tags. That's just sort of muscle memory, right? I also, when I was cleaning this up, I also had an alias here for remove to be the same as remote, because I apparently typo that a lot, but I've cleaned that away now. And this I find very useful for the way I work. So I work from the shell most of the time. I use Emacs as my editor, but I use it from the shell. So I go in, edit, leave, right? I don't run everything from inside Emacs, but and so when I'm browsing around directories and going into different checkouts, I want to know what Git branch I'm on there. And so this shows you here, this screenshot shows you, so on the left, the prompt with the directory, the kind of normal stuff. And on the right, the prompt shows the version control situation. right? It shows you this doesn't only work for Git, but here in chat says this is Git, this is the branch. The U says that there's uncommitted things in there. And then there's also 12 stashes, which I should probably clean up at some point. So I use Z shell because it makes this very easy. There's a module called VCS info that you have to wire into your prompt somehow, and then you can get this functionality. So this is kind of the reason why I actually switched to Z shell some time ago, to be able to use this here. And I find this, I can't go without it now, basically, because then it automatically shows me, you know, where in the file system am I and what is going on in that directory automatically. So the exact setup here would go a little bit too far, but if you are interested, I can share that with you. All right. So I mentioned the editor. We don't have to debate the editors here, but some setup is useful. The Postgres sources have recommended settings for Emacs and NVI, and obviously other editors can be configured in a different way, in a similar way. Some advanced things beyond that that I use, and I expect similar options exist for other editors. So I use a mode that checks for trailing whitespace automatically, automatic spell checking. That's useful for documentation, obviously, but this one also checks comments, source code comments. And you know, that just saves you review cycles if you already find the spell checking right away. And then automatic building to there's different Emacs modes for that called FlyCheck and FlyMake. That also helps, for example, if you're adding Perl or Makefile, automatically makes sure the syntax is correct. And I'll talk about symbol lookup a little bit later, so the etext, ctext kind of stuff. And then I have this shell setup that, you know, so sometimes you work on Postgres, sometimes you work on other things, right? And not all the different projects have the same style, coding styles. And the editor configuration captures that, but sometimes you work from the shell and you just want to use like less to look at stuff, or, you know, sometimes use Nano as sort of a backup editor. And Postgres, for example, has famously these four space tabs, which are not widely used elsewhere. So you need to, if you want to make less in Nano, use that correctly. You have to use these settings, but then you don't want to use them